Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of four queer black feminists living in New York City. This is part two of a two-part episode, so if you didn't listen to part one, you might want to go back to listen to part one, especially if you've never heard this podcast before, because we're kind of dropping you in the middle of things. But Happy New Year, everybody! I hope 2019 is treating you all right. I hope it's courting you. I hope it's taking you out on very nice dates. I hope 2019 is like eating your pussy and expecting nothing in return, you know, those kinds of vibes. This episode was supposed to come out a week ago, but because all of us were sick and we couldn't record an episode for this week, we figured to push this episode to this week. So you're finally hearing part two of 20 by Teen, as promised, which is our two-part wrap-up of 2018 and welcoming in 2019 episode. In just a moment, you're going to hear all four co-hosts talk about the highlights and lowlights of 2018 and their goals for this year, which some of us are already acting on our goals for 2019. I'm very proud of us. But before we get into all that, let's do some housekeeping. So Saturday, January 26th from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., we are welcoming home our coho Rob the right way. With the dance party, of course. So the party is free with RSVP, and there will be lots and lots of twerking and ass shaking and debauchery, but like good kind of debauchery. It's going to be at Star Bar in Brooklyn, New York. And for our patrons, please check out Patreon because you have access to an additional VIP party hour. So check out Patreon and see the special code on how to get tickets to that, and we will see you all there. And then after that, the next several days are just going to be mad lit for people in New York City. So on January 27th, you can actually check out our homie from Tea with Queen and Jay, Queen, and her magazine, Miss Vixen, because they are actually teaming up with the dope folks at Carefree Black Girl Podcast, and they're doing a 2019 vision boarding workshop for Black femmes. So I'm going to leave the link to get tickets for that in the description as well. And then the very next day, you see back to back to back, everything great is happening. If you're into watching amazing podcast live shows, our friends Bag Ladies are doing a live show with WNYC at the Green Space, which is in Manhattan, New York, at 7 p.m. on January 28th. And if you don't know the Bag Ladies, I mean, go listen to the Bag Ladies, please. It's a great show. But it's a show by Lena and Estefanie, who are two Dominican Afro-Latinx people from the Bronx, New York. And it's a show about unpacking baggage, ours, theirs, mine, yours. They talk about politics. They talk about social issues, but they do it authentically, intelligently, and they're mad funny. So if you want to come check them out live, please do so and check out the link to buy tickets for that, also in the description for this episode. And last but not least, February 3rd, a couple of days after this rush of awesome events, you can come to Sex Trivia Sundays, hosted by Inner Ho Uprising at Love Story Bar on the border of Bushwick and Ridgewood. That's Brooklyn and Queens. That's those two boroughs coming together in that space. Yeah, so we play trivia. It's sexually themed trivia. You can come, you can compete for a prize, or you can just spectate. We have sex experts in the building to drop some sexual knowledge on things that you might not know. There's music, there's drinks, there's hoes. Akua twerks on everyone. And I know that we say that in a lot of episodes and it seems like a joke, but it actually happens. It happened two nights ago. She's twerking on everybody. She's twerking on everybody. It was very funny. In the last round, I try to stump people with really obscure and weird questions and people get mad at me. People throw tomatoes at me. It's an amazing event. Okay, that does not happen, but the hard questions do happen. So we hope to see you at our next sex trivia event, February 3rd. That's going to start at 6 p.m. and last until 8 p.m. And that's it for housekeeping. So before we actually get into the episode, I just want to make a note. So about 32 minutes into the show till about 38 minutes, Rob's mic goes out while they're talking. It's just like a very Murphy's Law kind of way to end the year. So you'll be able to hear them, but they're going to sound off mic. So they're going to kind of sound like that. But their mic does come back in 38 minutes in. I'm very sorry about that. Please bear with us. We are an independent podcast and sometimes things go wrong, man. But thank you for rocking with us week after week. And thank you for rocking with us in 2018 and continuing to rock with us in 2019. We love you all very, very much. Let's start the show now. Oh, of the year, where we're talking about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. So I see this working in two ways: our highlights for this year and our goals for next year. That's cool.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm good. Who wants to talk first?
So for my fuck me, as in terms of reflection, I went back to three different ones that I wrote. And one, no, two that I wrote and one that someone else wrote. I think it was Sam. No, one that I wrote and then the other one Sam wrote. It says, am I a self-saboteur? That was something that I wrote. I forgot what episode it was. And then the other one was fight loneliness by doing things alone. So that was kind of my 2018, which was kind in the first 3/4 of the year. I was kind of just floating and doing what I usually do, which is like, half really being down on myself and really beating myself about things. And the other half really just acting like I was not the problem in anything. Like just kind of feeling like I'm not the wrong one here. I'm intelligent. I'm not doing it. It's like, wait, no, like all y'all niggas is wrong and it's not me.
Mm-hmm. It's always the case.
Yeah. It's so like fact. I kind of went into this notion or like kind of identify as a self-sabotager, which someone told me was negative, but that person could suck my dick. Sorry. It's just like,
damn, I thought I told
like
you that.
The way that I talk about myself.
That dick poppy.
It's more like someone's just like, oh, don't say that about yourself. Like, and it's like, okay, yeah, technically it's an inherited negative thing, but it's also me dissecting the problems or the things that I do to myself to make it that way. And that's what the conversation was, but it was just kind of like, okay. The reason why I revisited this is because I realized that I am a self-sabotager, but in a way that I'm able to identify exactly what it is that I do wrong. Not wrong, but what it is that kind of shapes my reality and kind of puts me into situations that when I reflect on them, I'm like, oh, I could have done something differently to make this better. So specifically, it was this year I realized, and I guess this became, I kind of call it me becoming an adult and me kind of becoming disillusioned. But
it's
all adulthood. We said it was adulthood is just disillusionment after disillusionment.
Yes, exactly. And I've had these conversations very weirdly. I've noticed that I don't know that everyone's on the same page, but when I meet random people, the conversation will pick up where I'm having, it's like everyone's part of my subconscious and I'm just having these conversations and I'm like, why do you think the same thing that I was thinking last week? And why are we, all of that type of stuff. I've been thinking that the Matrix is glitching and all that type of stuff because I'm just like, why are we doing this at the same time? But just realizing that when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time personally like not dreaming, but kind of like shaping what my reality would be at this age. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, oh my God. I was so convinced. We were talking about this earlier. I was going to have a house. I was going to be married. 3 kids by now, at least. And you know, and like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, holy shit. I really, really thought big of myself at the time. Really thought I was going to get far. But at the same time, it's kind of like dealing with the fact that it's okay that you're not doing any of those things and you could still be happy and still, but because you spend so much time thinking that you're not successful if you're not doing these things or if you're not at this fantasy that you created for yourself, I spend so much time expecting and saying that if I'm not doing this then it's not right and just let it go. And there's this culture where it's like, oh, if this person isn't living up to the standards that you set for them, just throw them away, kind of. I've seen that a lot in memes where it's just like, you're not asking for too much. They're just not able to cut up to your standards. But it's a lot of things where I just felt like I'm gonna throw it away or it's not right for me or I'm not gonna pursue this because it wasn't happening immediately or everything wasn't snapping together like it does in fairy tales. Like that's what we swallow and that's what we consume, fairy tales and all of these. At the end of every movie, no matter how many things happen, everything's right in the end.
Can I make a point to that? I just watched this French movie where in essence the family kidnapped the baby in a hospital or being chased by security in the hospital, and at the end social services let them keep the baby. Nigga, how?
Because it all has to have a neat little bow and it all has to make sense.
Feel good.
And when you're kind of living life, and this was 2018 for me, it was not any moment where I was like, okay, it's not making sense on its own. I have to create sense. I have to create purpose. I have to create all of these things for myself. And that can be an ongoing thing and not have to be like, all right, now I'm in the reality I created for myself. Everything's perfect. And that just never happened. And that was kind of the disillusionment for me, where it was like, oh, okay, it's just writing the story and keep going and keep going and keep going. Which I guess for some people they realize that early, but for me that was this year. That was me realizing that it's now that I have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So that's what I, when I was looking at self-sabotaging and something that I always said, I realized that I was spending so much time in my own head that I wasn't living or like really being present in any moment, because when I was expressing myself, I was also editing myself before I even got it out. Or if I was in a moment and I was around other people, all I can think about was how people were thinking about me and how I was fucking it up or this, that, and the fourth. And I wasn't just having fun at a party, or I wasn't just like going on a date or like being in my relationship, especially my relationship, which I guess it's not my fault because it takes two to tango. But at the same time, when I look back on it, and I realize that I spent so much time in my relationship expecting perfection from myself, actually, like the pressure that I put on myself to be perfect and to be there kind of made me run from it. And I was the one who was like, no, I can't do this because I'm freaking out and I want you to see me as this perfect person, but I don't even know what that looks like or how to be that. So that was the last month of my life where I messed up my ankle. So I've just been alone a lot because of the fact that I can't go out. It's winter. Nobody wants to like, I went out yesterday for the first time and I'm like limping down the street in the middle of the city. And I hated myself for it because I hate people who walk slow in the city. And I was one of those people.
To the side, my nigga.
Yeah. But but there was a lot of like scaffolding, so there was no side and everyone was just pissed at me. And I was like, you're right, I'm so sorry, it's me. But at the same time, it was like before that I was just home like resting my ankle as I should be. And it was just the times that I got back into writing in my journal. I got back into just like spending time in quiet and just reflecting and doing those type of things and just really focusing on being present and not sabotaging myself, and rather just figuring out what that narrative looks like for the future for me and what happiness is, blah, 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 blah. But that's kind of what my goals are for 2019. I put rooting myself in reality and spending less time on social media, because social media for me, it's just, I realize that for me specifically, it's something that consumes everything. I just become so enraptured in all the things that are going on with other people and comparing myself and blah, 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 blah. So spending more time in like the day to day and less time like staring at my phone or dreaming up whatever, this conjuring this future shit. And then being honest with myself first and checking myself. That's something where realizing that I'm not perfect, even though, you know, sometimes I am. But just realizing that even if I'm intelligent and doing all of these things, like I can still be wrong about a lot of things. And I could still be vulnerable and still be learning. There's always more things to learn. There's always different experiences that other people have that I am open to and I respect, but to really like swallow it and learn and build myself from other people that I've been meeting, because I've been meeting so many people. I think probably 2018, being on this podcast, I've met so many beautiful, lovely, caring people that are like genuine. And that's something that I want to absorb as well. And just kind of now that I'm graduating, yay!
Fucking up.
Kind of figuring out what my quote unquote now what is, because mm-hmm. this is supposed to be the rest of my life now. And what's that?
You avoid the now what and just go back to school like I'm planning to do, because I don't like none of this. Just keep going.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my 2018, and that's hopefully what my 2019 is looking like.
Yeah.
Sounds good, fam. Sounds good.
We dying in here, y'all.
Nah, I'm good.
My medicine don't wore off. I can't feel my face.
All right, 2018.
Well, you woke up, huh?
Well, I have to talk now. I was just listening before. So I'm going to do some highlights for the year, and then I'm going to do some goals for next year. So one of the things that I became very okay with in 2018 is the thought of being romantically alone for the rest of my life. If you listen to the show, July 2017, bad breakup. Not bad, but just like, wow, we were together for 7 years. I don't remember. Eight. Oh, okay. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's crazy. You remembered.
Long ass time. And I'm not even going to front, like, I'm still very close with my ex to this day, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're ever going to be anything ever again. And so in going through the process, like, at first I was just like, wow, you're supposed to be my life partner, my nigga, and you just dropped that shit. But now I have multiple life partners. Like, y'all are my life partners. My brother is my life partner. My dad is my life partner. I have several people who are going to support me for the rest of my life. And I'm okay with not having someone romantically support me for the rest of my life. And then even just like in losing my mom, if you listen to the show, you know that my mom passed away 2 years ago. Even if and I hope that none of you die ever, but one day you're going to, before me or after me, I don't know, but at some point it's going to happen, right? Even if I lose all of the people that I consider my life partner right now, I still have you in me. Like, it sounds like some fucking hokey dokey bullshit or whatever, but like, and it doesn't matter what you believe, like whether people go to an afterlife or not or whatever, like literally, if you know someone and knew someone as they were, you have them in your memories. So like, even right now, like there's some shit that like I have to go through that only my mom would know the right thing to say in those instances. And I call back on that, even though I cannot physically speak with her, I can call back on that. Like, even when me and my ex were apart, like now I can talk to him or whatever, but there were times where when we first broke up, it was like, I'm not trying to talk to this nigga. Like, he gets on my fucking nerves, and he also doesn't want to talk to me because he needs his space. But there are things that we went through together and things that like he helped me learn about myself that I can call on in times that I need. So now when I do need people, I'll reach out. But sometimes I don't even need to reach out to people because I have the lessons within me that people taught me and that I went through in knowing people. So that kind of helped me be okay not being romantically attached for the rest of my life. And that's something that I kind of started feeling in... Honestly, like January, February. Yeah, early this year. So that was one of the biggest moments in my life romantically. I wanted to explore the kinky side of me, which I did get to do, but not fully because the situation, the person who I was in like a DS dom sub relationship with kind of like fell to shit. Not because of the kink nature of the relationship, but just like life and shit like that. But exploring that side was dope as fuck. It was very sexy. So that's another one of my highlights for this year. 3 years ago I physically chased a nigga. Oh, I did do that. That's funny. Okay, so I wrote that down because I have experienced not a lot of rejection this year, but I don't put myself out there that much because I don't want rejection. Not that I'm afraid of it, like, oh my god, the world's gonna end if I'm rejected, but it's just not a good feeling to feel. So when I like sense that a nigga is kind of like not with it, I'm just like, oh, I'm not with it at all. I didn't ever like you. What do you mean? But this year, like, Bishop was like really, really single, and I have been rejected a number of times, and one time you remember that time when we were at that place and that nigga was just like, oh, that's a bitch I'm fucking with and it's not you, and I was like,
nah, just so you know, it's not you. Just like, yeah, bro.
Well, he didn't say that. He
no,
was like,
yeah, but you he was you like, took it like that.
He was like, it might not be you, and I was just like, me? I was like, do you know who I am? And it's not like, I don't feel like, I don't even feel like I'm like the baddest bitch or whatever, or I have the best pussy. Like, I know that I'm bad and I know that the pussy game is good, but I just like, I'm actually a spoiled person. Like, I'm coddled in every single aspect of my life. So to just be like told no in such a way, I was just like, the fuck.
And even afterwards, I was like, bro, it's okay, like, this is what you want. You want honesty, right? You're like,
yeah,
but no.
Yeah. I was like
you're still you, you're still a bad bitch, like,
and that's like something that I've done to other people, honestly. So like,
I just couldn't. I didn't even understand. But it was very okay. But like that happened 3 years ago. If you listen to episode 2 of Inner Ho Uprising, I was in a very similar instance where it was another light skinned ass nigga. What's wrong with me? We were in a situation. I was just like, oh yeah, you coming home with me tonight? And he was like flirting with all of these other people in the space, and I was just like, nah. I don't even understand what the fuck is going on. So I like, and so I wrote down, I physically, like, I ran, and that's,
I can't even picture that.
I'm so glad that no one was there except for Shanique. I'm so glad that no one saw that. But yeah, even though it seems like a very like 19 year old thing to do, that happened when I was 22 or how old was I, like 23 years old, so that's fucked up already. But I didn't do that this time. And there have been other instances where I could do that and like keep forcing it or whatever, or keep pushing it. But I'm just like, all right, that felt bad, but heard you. I'm not going to fucking force things where they don't need to be forced. So I'm very proud of the fact that I'm a different human being, although I'm very ashamed of the human being that I once was.
Growth.
Yes.
Maturity.
Yes, yes, yes. The Dominican Republic, just the fact that I set sex goals for myself and I accomplished those sex goals, that was cool. And then also, I just liked running around being a hoe with you being there. Yeah, that was cool.
That was a good time.
That was cool. Oh, yes. And then finally, something that I've been dealing with. So that same night that that happened, the thing where I was like, what do you mean you don't want me?
Yeah.
Is one of the first times that I wore my hair out natural in front of that human being, right? And I was just like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm not like this bad bitch that I always am or whatever when I have one of the several wigs on the wig crucifix or whatever. And I know that I am attractive in general, and I know that my natural is nice and that it's pretty, but I don't know, somewhere along the way, I feel like I just lost myself or whatever. Like there's never been any negative reinforcement from actual people in my life. Well, actually, there has been. Like, when you go to, like, a Jamaican function and you have your natural hair and they're like, oh, what are you going to do with your hair? And I'm like, oh, my God. This is what I'm doing with my hair. What do you mean? But aside from that, there's never been, like, I've never been in an instance with a guy where he's like, oh, that's ugly or anything like that. Or, like, whenever I wear my natural hair, my dad is like, oh, your hair is so pretty. Or whenever I wear my natural hair, my mom would be like, oh, I just love your hair. Same, like, she had like a 3C curl pattern, but she would like, I want to have hair like yours, which means a lot for somebody who has a loose curl pattern to be like, I want your fucking 4Z ass hair. Mm-hmm. So I never had any negative like stimulus when it came to my hair. But I don't know. It's just, I guess, like, even someone who has like a strong self-esteem could get caught up in like the Instagrams of the world or whatever and trying to look like a particular bad bitch. So there was like that where I was like, ah, fuck. Like, whenever I see someone where I'm like trying to like get them or trying to like nag them, I don't want to have my hair natural. I want to like be wigged up or like extensions or something like that. And then also, it just got really weird for me in like dick appointments, because I was like, what do I do? Like, do I have my natural hair? Yeah, I would never take off my wig during a dick appointment, because that's weird. Like, if you don't know that, nigga, you're just
very
in a wig.
Intimate, and you're in, you don't know me like that. Yeah, you don't know me like that.
It's a ball cap. That don't make no sense. But like, niggas will fucking fully bust out their do-rags and have no issues with that. But yeah, so I didn't want to do that, but I also wouldn't ever want to wear my natural hair, because I'm like, oh, what if it gets fucked up or something like that? But like,
I don't know what kind of pillowcases is like a guy.
I always carry a silk scarf with me wherever I go. That is in my whole bag. But I just like literally didn't want to look like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not at the place right now where I'm like fully accepting that or anything, mm-hmm. or where I'm okay with that. One of the things that helped was when Tea with Queen and Jay talked about hair on their episode, which was recorded right here in Wig Crucifix Studios, ironically. But yeah, just hearing that conversation where other people are like not quite sure, like they don't love their hair or whatever, but they accept the fact that they do have the hair that they have, and they might have negative feelings towards their hair because of what society has said about their hair, made me feel like, all right, so it's not just me. Like, because I was always thinking, like, what do y'all bitches do during your dick appointment? Like, do you take your, what do you do, Akua? Like, what do you do?
When I had hair or
I don't,
now?
No, well, now you don't do it. Yeah, now you just bald as fuck.
Oh, well, I've never been good to my hair. So my hair was just on them pillows and it'd get like, but all you need is some water and a finger to tangle, and you put your afro together. I never covered my hair.
I just didn't want to like even wear an afro to them, because I'm like,
it's just gonna get fucked up.
Well, yeah, this is sex. A lot of things will get fucked up. This is sex.
It's gonna get fucked
up. And if it was good sex, shit should get fucked up. And with the thing with natural hair, you just need some water. You can, you know, shape it back together so you get back home.
Yeah.
You know,
you can always shape it back.
I don't gotta do a twist out at the nigga house.
I had locks. So, like, I didn't even care. Like, which is bad because, like, I know that the reason why my locks weren't successful is because I was lying on niggas' pillows and it was stripping the moisture out of my hair. But I'm thinking, I had locks. They're hanging down. It's all right.
I leave my wig on. I still tie that shit up. I can't sleep without a durag.
You have a night routine. I don't have that yet.
I can't sleep without a durag, brushing my teeth, flossing. It's weird.
No, it's good. I mean, I just fall the fuck asleep. Sometimes my face is covered in makeup.
That's bad.
No good.
But yeah, so that's not a place where, like, I don't have a neat bow for that or whatever, but it's just something that I've been thinking about all year. And then yesterday, on my first dick appointment since like 2 months, because I haven't had sex for like 2 months, I came and I was just like, what do I do with my, I don't know, like, I'm not gonna fucking cornrow this shit. And I'm not gonna, like,
you,
I don't want to add,
huh? What?
I was about to leave. I was ready to leave.
Okay.
I was like, I don't want to cornrow my hair and put a wig on, and also I don't want to have a wig on during this because I'm fucking sick of that shit. I just didn't know what to do, so I was just like, I'm just gonna put it up. Like, I'm gonna take it up and put it up like in a pineapple or whatever. And I did that, and I came, and it's not like you need validation from niggas, but sometimes it feels good. But like, when I got there, he was just like, oh, your hair looks really nice.
Oh,
I'm like,
I didn't do shit.
Thank you. I have loved you for so long. Thank you.
And then we fucked, and I was like my fucking tie fell off because I had it tied up and it fell off because, yeah, whatever, sex. And I was tying it back up, and he was like, your hair still looks really good. Like, I didn't ask him to say that.
Nice.
I was like, thank you, though. Thank you. Cool. So those are highlights of my year, and I'm sure there are many more that I forgot to mention, but those are just some things that I've been thinking about today. And then goals for next year, I would like to be completely on top of my sexual health, which was in part inspired by our sexual health episode with our sexperts, who are also the sex trivia. Did we talk about that? Oh, yes, we did. The sex trivia experts, so that's Janelle, Omotayo, and Alex. I'm heavily thinking about considering just going on PrEP because it doesn't seem like there's anything, like, okay, there's like the kidney thing or whatever, but I don't have to be on it for forever. But it's just like another aspect of protecting yourself that I just didn't consider before. I don't really know why I didn't consider it before. Before, it seemed like it was only being marketed towards men who have sex with men. And then at a point, I did see like they were marketing it towards everyone, specifically Black women. And I was just still like, oh, I don't really know or whatever. And then one thing that I never even thought about, and I don't even know why, I just didn't even think about it, but I specifically asked this question during the sexual health episode, was like, for any instance where you think that you might be exposed, like, and it's not like, oh, you think that that person has HIV or something like that, but you just don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a question. You can just go to any clinic or whatever, or your primary care or the emergency room, and ask for PEP. And I have been in instances where, like, oh, shit, the fucking condom broke. Oh, let me just, like, wait nervously and get tested. Or, oh, shit, this nigga fucking took the condom off, which has happened to me. Oh, shit, that's fucked up. Let me just wait nervously. But now I'm just like, why the fuck would I do that?
Why am I waiting nervously?
Yeah, doesn't even make any sense. And it sucks that, like, it took, like, it doesn't suck, but it's, like, weird that it took that for that to click. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just like, all right, either I'm going to go on PrEP and like do this continuously, or if there is a instance where like the barrier method fails, why the fuck not? Mm-hmm. Why the fuck not? And it's the same reason why I like did the HPV test, because I was like, I just don't want this on my back. I don't want to keep thinking about this or whatever. And thinking about things going awry with my health is something that contributes to anxiety that I have, so I just want to be completely on top of that. So that's something that I have that I'm looking forward to in 2019. Two other things, doubling down on my mantra, which is delete it if it doesn't serve you. So if the nigga is just fucking getting on your nerves, why are you gonna force it? Mm-hmm. What is the point?
Right?
It doesn't do anything.
Am I right?
It's not helping you in any sort of way. Like, you don't have to fucking force these interactions, especially when you come to the point where you're okay with being alone in any instance. And then lastly, as per your advice, putting oneself out there, yes, I do.
You listen.
Yeah, I did listen to you for once. I listened to you one time in my life.
Yeah.
I want to put myself out there, but I also don't want to force it. So like yesterday, I told you somebody was like offering Filipino food, and I was like, that's nice. I do want Filipino food, but I also didn't feel like it. So the fact that I like have been navigating these apps and talking to people and stuff like that, I'm putting myself out there. I'm broadening my array of people to a different subset of people or whatever. But also if I don't want to do it, I can also not do it. So kind of like towing that line where like, I don't know, I'm dipping and dabbing or whatever. Yeah, 2019 should be cool.
Expanding and setting your boundaries.
Yes, yes. That's a good way to sum it up.
Sorry.
Yes. Sorry.
That's how I felt it. I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's good. That's good. That's all I have to say.
So highlights of this year, first and foremost, was processing my queerness on air. I guess this is air.
This is air.
Because it was something that I just didn't do. Like, even in that episode, you can go back on to it. Like, even in those instances where it came up, I kind of just kept stuffing it. And there's times where it'll pop in my head and I'll play it in my head, but never really like spoke out about it, like outside of my head, outside with a little voice in my head. So that was a really big thing for me this year, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you. And I'm really glad that I got to do that. Another thing was discovering my hate for capitalism.
Oh,
I didn't realize.
You didn't know that this shit was the worst?
That I hated it. Because I've always been in academia. I've never worked. So now that I'm out of academia and in like the thick of capitalism, I'm like, I see why I kept going back to school. I see why I dipped and dabbled to meet my means, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And I used to quit jobs at the snap of a motherfucking finger. Like, I was, you remember Everybody Hates Chris, his mom, who was like, I don't need this. My husband got two jobs. Yeah. That was me. I was like, I don't need this. I'm getting a degree. And I'd be out. Like, I'd just be out. At literally, like, the snap. I think the longest time I held a job was, like, for 7 months. And I think 3 months into it, I was already, like, rocking. I was like, oh, shit, I gotta go. But bitch, need them benefits.
Yeah.
So really identifying that and, really just identifying that, because for a long time it just felt like, what's wrong with me? Like, I see everybody else happily doing this, or not even happily, but they're able.
They're not happy.
They're not happy, but they're putting up that front. Like, you never know there was anything wrong. They're able to do this day in, day out. And there are some people that actually find fulfillment in this. And I literally cannot stomach this for a year. Like, I can't. I was like, if this is what adult life is supposed to be like, nigga, what the fuck am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to be changing jobs every 7 months. Like, I, you know, and jobs don't come when you call them. So it was really, it was a source of anxiety for me. And it was like, it really was like, what is wrong with me? So identifying that it's not me that's the problem, but this system, and that I just cannot jive in it. I don't know why that was the word. this is my inner grandma coming out. Relieved a lot of anxiety for me. Because it was like, here I am, I'm finally in the field that I said I wanted to be. This is kind of like a dream job for me. Like, this is what I've worked so hard for the past, my whole academic life from 5 till now, to get to this position, and I thoroughly hate it.
Yeah.
The fuck? Ooh. Like, am I ever gonna be happy?
Yeah.
So realizing that it wasn't that, and it was just this institution, it was just this system, relieved a lot of anxiety for me. Still adds on other anxiety, but
same. Oh my god.
Abstaining for sex was
how long has it been?
So I had to go back. It's been, last time I had sex was March 6th, 2018.
Wow.
So I'm at sex too. I risked my life for some dick. Almost died. But because it was a snowstorm and I was traveling. If y'all know me, I didn't drive well in bad weather. If it wasn't sunny, a bitch couldn't do it. And I went for that dick because I was like, yeah, I might get snowed out and die, you know, out here. But it's still going to be some good dick.
There you go.
Yeah, so that was the last time I had sex. So that makes it, what, 9 months now? Mm-hmm. And I am trying to take that into 2019. And that's a goal for me to continue to abstain. it was really like I had thought about it for a while. At first, it wasn't really my decision. It was the universe. I was just not getting any dick, no matter how hard I tried. And then I started to lean into it, like, all right, maybe I need to, I had to reflect into why I felt the need to be trying to force sex, because it wasn't like a physical or sexual thing, like, oh, I'm horny, I need sex. No, it was me trying to attach myself to someone else, especially after like such a very messy breakup. And a lot of this kind of spawned from trauma a couple years ago with the same fuckboy that I was fucking, and other things, that it was just me trying to attach myself to someone. And the easiest way to attach yourself to someone is sex, physical intimacy. And then I had read this really great book, which Smith was going to put in the link as well, called Attached. It's a science for attachment and love or something like that. But it talks about different attachment styles. And I got to learn about my attachment style and how... and how it conflicts with other people's attachment styles, and how that can kind of leave me in this anxiety loophole that I was feeling. So then I started to lean into it, like, let me abstain from sex as a way to reset my attachments to people and kind of refocus my energy into less romantic pursuits, but other relationships I have all around me, because niggas and dick and sex is not everything. I don't remember where I was going with that. Oh, but that, yeah, that was a highlight, abstaining from sex. It was a goal in 2019 to keep doing it. And exploring my boundaries. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know a bitch just discovered some boundaries. I'm loving this shit. It's fucking new. Why did y'all tell me about this?
We ain't know either. I ain't know.
But 2019 is what I want to do. Like, I was able to really have a difficult conversation with someone because I was like, all right, this is a boundary for me and I have to enforce it. Whereas I would have continued these maladaptive kind of ghosting behaviors as well. And I really sat down, I was like, look, I really don't like you. I don't like the way you come across. I'm really not interested in talking to you right now. Deuces. And they accepted that. And I was like, ooh, I don't have to worry about him popping up 6 months from now talking about, hey, stranger. I don't got to worry about none of that because he knows.
Because you already know.
I mean, he might, but you but know.
Then that's his problem, not yours.
It wouldn't be me, you know. It'd be him. And that felt really good. So more of that in 2019.
Yes.
More of that.
Nice. Those are good. Roberto. All
right, so yeah, this year, it's been it's been a fucking ride. So y'all niggas know I lost my grandfather earlier this year to some trash ass cancer. But I also lost my other grandfather this year to not trash ass cancer, but just trash ass life. And it'd be like that sometimes. You know, that wasn't a highlight. I don't know why I said that. But it was something that happened in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, something that I had to accept and get through in the absence of my family. I had a support system, but I was not physically co-located with my support system. So I had to really kind of, unfortunately, get through it by myself. And use the resources available to me, which were calling my mother whenever I felt like it and crying into the phone. And her just saying, yeah, I know. I do it too. I'm like, cool. Validating my fucking sadness and my grief, essentially. We talked about our dreams and our thoughts, our intrusive thoughts. You know, if you've ever been through something like that, thoughts can be extremely intrusive for a while. But we talk about it, you know, I think about those things too. I understand this is something I go through too. It's just very validating to know that, cool, I'm not losing my mind. Even Sam helped me out a lot through this because she was in a very similar situation. So it's just like, cool, I'm not losing my mind. This is natural. It doesn't last forever, right? Or it kind of does last forever, but it's not as bad. Cool, so that happens. Yeah, granted, the sum of this, which is going to be the theme, is that I did not have a very good year. I had a productive year. I did a lot of things, so I can't necessarily say I had highlights. My highlights were just, like, I accomplished, like, things like, cool, I got to FDNY for the most part. I made a promotion list for a staff sergeant.
Yes.
And I submitted my packet to become an officer.
Accomplished shit.
For selection. But it doesn't feel like whatever. It feels like whatever to me because it's just like things that I do. Like it's not new. I'm very like goal driven. Like, oh, I want to do this. I'm making my mind split second, cool, I'm gonna do this. So that's why it doesn't feel like a highlight. It's just, that's all I've always been. I'm gonna go to college. All right, I'm in college. I'm graduating with a high GPA. All this sucks, but I did it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it was just me telling myself to do it. But of course, you know, I'm gonna do trash breakup. Bye. Don't go back into that. We don't have to talk about that again. But I was in an abusive relationship while I was deployed. That was trash. And it taught me a lot about myself. It taught me a lot about my boundaries. So one goal that I have is to go to therapy specifically to understand why I attract emotionally abusive men. Mm-hmm. Or not even attract them. I attract men. But I attract all men. I attract very nice men who are very kind to me, but those are not the men I'm attracted to. I'm attracted to men who abuse me. And I don't know, I mean, I have ideas of why, but I can't necessarily say that because I've never been in a space where I could really comfortably open up about that with no fear of repercussion or judgment. So a goal is to definitely go to therapy because, I mean, of course it's them, but a part of it is me because it's a choice that I constantly very, very consciously make. I know this nigga is going to be the worst, but I'm gonna keep trying. You never know. And I definitely can't say, oh, it's just because of the sex. The sex is popping. Sex to me, as long as I come, for the most part. You can have, also I always have popping sex, but I don't think I stay for sex. Not at all. I think it's something else. Because then I was also stealthy this year. I don't know if I mentioned that the last episode. Probably not. Because I didn't really tell anybody. But it's a guy who's super duper nice to me. And we had sex. The first time we had sex, I stopped him before he inserted himself into me. I don't know what you call that.
Penetrated?
Before he penetrated my pussy. But I stopped him and I said, hey, can you put on the condom? He put on the condom. We had sex. He came in the condom. Cool. Same session, second round. Put on a condom. He took off the condom. I found out he took off the condom. Didn't really know what to do. I said, why'd you do that? You gotta kind of ask for these things. And he's like, oh, my bad. And then it was just very awkward. We stopped. But then the next day, I cried all day. And then I got sick. I don't have, one reason why I don't have unprotected sex is because I get very sick when I do. And I got very, very, very sick and ended up in the hospital because I had unprotected sex with a nigga I did not want to have unprotected sex with. And then I still fuck with him afterwards. Why? I don't know. I do not know why I did that. It's kind of embarrassing to say out loud, but it'd be like that sometimes. Sexual assault puts you in a really weird place. And that was the second time I was sexually assaulted this year. So I did not know how to process it because I did not want to talk about it. And as we said, I didn't have that space to talk about it when I was there because people, you mentioned that to them, oh, it's, I understand why you're mad, but you know, it's not that serious, but it is very serious, especially when it messes with your health. Like what you were saying with your mental, with your vaginal health, going to try to get on PrEP. And if you feel like you were exposed, get on PEP. I went to the doctor and I said that I didn't want to say it specifically because then I'd have to file a report if I mentioned unconsensual act to a doctor. But I just said I had unprotected sex. I did not mean to. And I'm afraid that I may have gotten some kind of STD. I just want to be treated for whatever you can treat me with. So I asked them to treat me for whatever they could possibly treat me for. And they said they couldn't treat me for anything because you had no symptoms. I thought about just saying, well, bitch, give me fucking PEP. Like, I know you got that shit. It's a fucking hospital. But then I was scared. I was scared to keep going because I thought me just saying that would say, maybe this was unconsensual and maybe we might want to treat this person. That was the first thing that came to my mind was I need to go on PEP. But I laid it out as clear as I could to a medical provider for somebody to give me that. And he wouldn't. And he just told me I need to take better care of myself. This is a whole nother situation. Told me I need to take better care of myself. I need to abstain from sex. And I'm like, okay,
why am I like this? So yeah, it's been fucking rough. It was rough. It's been rough, essentially. So a lot of my issues have been stemming from people. So I've my goals, yes, to go to therapy, to unravel why I'm like this. But my other goal too is, in the meantime, because it's not an overnight process, I know coping and figuring shit out, especially dealing with very traumatic losses, it's going to take time to find some kind of middle ground and try to have a healthy dating life. Especially being polyamorous, I need to be extra careful because I can be in multiple abusive relationships at once. I don't want to do that. So learning also how to cut people off and stop when I need to stop. It took me physically leaving the country, and the guy, the emotionally abusive guy, essentially ghosting me. I didn't even have to do it myself. I planned on it and I didn't. And he just begged me, please don't stop talking to me when you leave. Da da da. Like, I don't think it's worth it. And like begged me, very fucking abusive. And then when I left me on scene, told me he was working, and that was a week ago. So yeah, you know, this hasn't been fun. I definitely wanted to die several times, but I didn't. Damn, bitch, I'm about to cry. It's been trash. My goals are really just to stay alive and just keep going. I wish I had better things to say.
That is okay. Be like that. Sometimes life does not give you fucking better things to say, my nigga.
No, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, a lot of good things happened and I got really close with my family, but it just overall has just been really difficult. I'm happy that I kept going and that I sought support when I needed to. I took time for myself when I needed to. Like, I think I took pretty good care of myself, but I didn't take as good as care of myself as I would expect others to take of themselves. I would never suggest people to do the stupid ass things I did, but especially when you're grieving, you do a lot of stupid shit to try to feel better. And I knew that I took that break from sex, love, and dating when I did that first mini-sode. And I stuck with it for a while, especially after my grandfather died, because I knew in my heart, especially as like a fucking psychology major, I knew the first person who gave me any kind of attention I would latch on to, because I didn't have any. Like, I knew the first person who made me feel like I was, like, she just made me feel anything other than sad, I was just going to fucking attach myself to like a virus. And I told him, I don't want to do this. It's going to end badly. I'm going to fucking fall in love with you. And I probably won't even like you. It's just going to happen just because of the situation I'm in. And he let it happen anyway, knowing how vulnerable I was and using my vulnerabilities against me. And it kind of broke me down. It makes me very afraid to have a lasting emotional connection with somebody, because I'm like, it's hard to trust. Because I'm like, okay, you're going to ghost me. tired of being ghosted, you know? That's not a fun thing. Please stop doing that, people. Use your words.
Right.
Or don't do anything. Just don't bother. But yeah, you know, I thought I had more productive, not productive, but more constructive things to share. But, you know, 2019.
You've set some
really
big goals for yourself in 2019.
Facts. Hope I stick to it.
Yourself, mentally, physically, and all that.
Yeah, I mean, at least I got really brolic. That's one thing I did do. I pushed my body to physical limits that I've never even felt comfortable doing. And I've achieved a physique that I never even thought I'd have. And I left the relativity out. Like, I don't feel like I'm big relative to this person. I'm small relative to this person. I'm weak or strong relative to this person. I really looked into myself, like, what do I want to look like? And why do I want to look like this? I want to look like this because I want to be strong and I want to look as strong as I am. And I went for it and it worked. And I've never been this strong in my fucking life. I like accidentally hurt people. I'm so strong. I hugged my brother, who's the strongest person I know. And he said, ow. That part. But I'm glad to be back.
Glad to have you back.
But I'm here and I'm queer.
Nice.
And I'm ready to fuck the world up one step at a time.
All right, that's 2018, a wrap up.
Yes.
We did it. Woo!
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening and kind of like taking the ride with us this mm-hmm. whole entire year.
It's been
we
a
really appreciate
ride.
That. Yeah.
For those of you who have been there from the beginning, for real, thank you.
Y'all some niggas.
Yeah.
Y'all
and those who've been there from the middle and then went back to the beginning, you're a real MVP.
If you just started, anybody at any entry point, I thank you, honestly.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. All MVPs.
Yes.
I would start rapping again, but I don't have the rhythm.
Please don't rap.
Okay. All right. So if you, new, old, and in between, would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe, buy some motherfucking merch.
Support it's there us. For you to buy it.
You guys can follow me, Akua at Hey, Akua Girl, HeyYaKuaGirl on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
And you can follow me, Rob.
Is that who you are?
Yeah, sorry. That was me buffering to think about my
The spinning wheel.
You can follow me on Twitter at Rob_God, because I'm the god of Kwanzaa, if you did not know
it's
that.
It's true.
And Kwanzaa's today, so it's I'm actually God right now, and I grant all of you a happy Kwanzaa, even if you are not of the Kwanzaa ethnicity.
If you're not black.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, if you ain't fucking black, you know, I still hope you have a prosperous fucking Kwanzaa. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's panafrican.bootyscratcher. It's not being funny now. It's been a year.
It's still funny to me.
We just stopped laughing about it out loud.
I was going to laugh until you said that.
Oh, and if you want to follow my Instagram, which I might be updating if I finally build my art studio, because I have not made any art, it's vanta.black, B-L-A-Q.
Nice.
Cool. And you can follow me, Rodeca, sometimes Rebecca.
It's always at, Rodeca.
Yeah. Some people call me in like certain settings Rebecca. It's very strange. But you can follow me on Instagram at The Darkest Timeline. I have nothing else. I changed. You know what? I did miss that.
You can't say
that.
Your Tumblr anymore because Tumblr is canceled.
How much you hate my names on Instagram. It's,
but The Darkest Timeline. So I see this person in my fucking inbox.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I was like, who the fuck is that?
He's made up. Yeah, this I was fucking pissed. Message. I was pissed. It's fucking Rhoda Kaka.
It's me, guys.
Lisa Simpson as your thing or something like
it
that.
It was. Yeah, it's my like, face now.
Who the fuck is this?
But yeah.
Wait, it was. This patriarchy in my fucking inbox.
Oh, The Darkest Timeline.
Well, wow. You guys are really obsessed. That's fine.
We just didn't know it was you, my guy. You just got to drop it in the group chat. Like, I changed my name.
Sorry.
She did it like way after the fact. Oh, that's you.
What if I just changed my name to Dildo Baggins and
honestly know it was you immediately.
Yes, because Dildo Baggins.
I do say that very often. Yep. I say that more often than I should.
I'm not even going to drop my Tumblr anymore. That sucks. But yeah, that's a dub now. Snapchat and Tumblr, they're dead now. So whatever.
Use that shit no more. I'm Slam Rid on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find me on Instagram at Carmen San Diego.
I love that.
For travel and photo pictures. Thank you. I appreciate you. Bye. Have a happy new year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Merry Xmas. Late. One day late.
Yeah, one day late. Like my period. Just kidding. Okay.